Hello, welcome back to Our Queer Experience. We have part two of our talk with Miss Brianna Knight, musician, bull rider. I meant to pull up your bio here. Hi. She's a musician, a bull rider, technologist, engineer, all around cool chick. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And Andre, we keep forgetting the trivia question, but we remembered this time. And I have a question for you. Right?
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're going to get it, but I know Brianna and I are on the same page on this one. A few years ago, there was a popular song called Handlebars. I can ride my bike, but no. Yeah. I'm not the singer on this podcast. Do you know, Andre, do you know which artist sang that?
Was it Bicycle McGee?
Bicycle McGee. That's an awesome name for a band, but no, I'm sorry.
Then I have not a clue.
Keep listening to this podcast. We'll give you the answer at the very end. And Brianna, last week we talked a little bit about your coming out story and stuff, and how you used music to, you know, empower yourself. But we didn't really talk about the music that you make itself. So I was wondering if we could maybe go into that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned last week, I found my tribe, Gorgora Orchestra, and from there I was able to find myself. And once I thought I found myself, I also started questioning, like, what, if I were to have my own soundtrack in my own life, what would that be? And so then I started this a solo project. And in my solo project, I get to explore these human experiences that make me me. And by doing so, as a solo artist, I'm a multimedia artist, and that was kind of like a surprise, because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about wanting to do bigger music things and how was I going to do that. And he suggested, he's like, well, I think it'd be really cool if, like, a year from now, you know, you're on a stage doing your own tour, just like with your own music. And I was like, you know, that's like kind of like a brilliant idea, because, you know, I've been so busy with investing my time into playing with all these other bands, like thinking that that was how that was going to give me, like, my big break as a musician. I was going to join the right band that was doing the right thing. Never really thinking about, what if I just make my band, like, the right thing, and, you know, just, like, take up on this whole solo journey. So, like, around that time, I was working as a music teacher, and kind of realizing that, like, basically in a nutshell, the life as a music teacher is a difficult one, and a kind of an unstable one. You know, it's like, one of the major points of, like, being a music teacher is, like, hey, here's this thing that I love, which is playing music, and a more stable way to provide for yourself while you get to make music. But also, you know, having the opportunity to educate the minds of tomorrow. But it's, like, a teacher, an educator, it's a rough life. I started exploring other options. And, I mean, and I still have, I have friends who are, I have many, many friends who are music teachers, and I respect what they do daily. And I am often at the bars with them daily to talk about their frustrations, and they're valid. And, you know, it's kind of an unfortunate situation that, like, how our teachers are treated in public school. So that's a whole topic for a whole another day. So leaving the idea of being a music teacher, leaving the idea of actually being this art historian, because music took more precedence, but because of my visual training in art history, and some of the themes that I explored, which had to do with kind of like, I guess, androgyny, gender bending, if you will. But androgyny was a big theme of mine, looking at modern art, you know, like with the flaneur, the flaneuse, and like the gauze theme of like the power behind the gaze, and like what does that mean to the subject who's receiving that. And I saw all this gender power dynamics, I guess. And so I brought all this, became this multimedia musician. And getting out of being a music teacher, I started exploring technology and becoming a developer, and like, what does that really mean to be a developer? What does it really mean to be an engineer? And fortunately, I had wonderful options available to me, because in most of the bands that I was playing in, you were either an engineer or you were a music teacher. And so I was able to, yeah, it was quite convenient. So I remember I was performing in even before that, I went to a startup, like meetup, job hiring fair, and like so many of my friends were just like, oh yeah, just go to that. Like, you know, these tech companies are like always looking to hire people. Like they have more jobs than they have people for. So just go. And so I went, and like, oh man, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. Because they were definitely seeking people that were trained in some of these languages, and I absolutely was not. I just from what I was going off of, from like people telling me, yeah, just show up and you'll be fine, and I did, and I was not. And I went back to my car, and I was like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I thought that I would be able to like enter this industry like this. And like I was like practically like in my car just crying, like out of embarrassment. And so like in that moment, it's either like you can be a little bitch or you can get your shit together and figure out how you can at some point in the future go back in there and actually have like the resume that they're looking for. And so then shortly after that, I was playing I'd gone to the library and I checked out a book on, was it C sharp? Like, I didn't even know where to start. Like, I didn't really know what the like, what front end meant, what back end meant. Like, I was completely clueless, but like I'd heard of Java. So I was like, a friend of mine who was working, you know, there's like C++, there's C sharp, and more so like hardware coding languages. But so I checked out this book, and I'm like trying to read it, and it's like, I don't know what this means. And then I was like, I just need help. I need help somehow. I don't really know where to get it just yet. And like the questions that I'm like even trying to figure out how to ask are so like juvenile that in my mind I'm not ready to ask someone who knows something anything yet. I need to do more personal research. And so I was asked to play percussion in this circus performance, and you know, so I'm like really excited. I'm like, hey, wow, I'm in like the circus now, this is cool. And I got into like one of the rehearsals really early, and so I was just kind of like helping set up. And I was helping this guy set up, and his name was Joe. And you know, he's like, oh man, Joe was probably like the most beautiful soul that like I've ever met. And he's a circus guy. He's this like astrophysicist. He's like brilliant, loving, open-minded, kind person. And so I'm helping him set up, and like we hadn't really had a conversation yet. Like we just kind of saw each other in passing. And he's just like, "Hey, like, you know, it's really cool that you're doing this, and like I haven't really talked to you much, so like, tell me about you." And he's just like, and he just sees me, and I'm like, "Wow, oh, like." You know, like, to the point where I'm like, are you talking to me? Like, wait, why are you interested in talking to me? Like, you're like, the really cool guy, you know? Like, I want to be like you when I grow up, sort of thing. and so, like, we have this conversation, and, you know, I was like, what do you do? I'm like, well, you know, like, I'm a music teacher, but I'm trying to get out of teaching, and I'm trying to learn how to, like, write code. And he's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, that's funny you should say that, because I actually, like, I run a group for his friends who are interested in just writing, learning how to write code. And so basically, like, if you just come hang out at my house, I'll teach you how to write in Ruby, and then you can do some stuff for the circuit. I was like, really? He's like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, just join the group, and we'll just get started. And I'm just like, wow, like, that is awesome and exciting, and I don't even know where to start, and, like, I'm like, how do I thank you? He's like, you can just thank me by telling me more about yourself. I was like, whoa. Like, how do you, like, how do I be that cool, you know? So, like, Joe was the first person that was teaching me how to code. And that was probably, that was before rodeo days. So, I don't know, probably like 7 years ago or so.
Wow.
And so that was the first step, and it was because of music that I started going into technology, and also started coupling technology back with music. Like, how can this be a mutually beneficial relationship? So I worked with Joe for a little bit, and so that was kind of like my introduction to Ruby. And then I played in another band, and that band I ended up getting an internship, and then I really started learning Java. And then after that, I started delving into front end and learning JavaScript. And then I went to a more extensive coding program, and I was there for about 9 months. And then while I was like trying to round out some of more of my JavaScript skills, that's when I started getting into blockchain and understanding that whole new platform, and just getting more excited about the unlocking human potential with blockchain and creating a decentralized environment that would offer the lifestyle to humans that we want to be able to live, like, just an honest lifestyle. And that's where my work has been lately, has been in blockchain and getting to educating people on blockchain, getting more people involved with it, and spreading the potential that like a decentralized network can offer society. So,
cool beans. So it sounds like throughout your story, we just keep hearing about these chance encounters and these upward spirals, and then a chance encounter and an upward spiral. And what sticks out most to me, and Bruce, you can jump in if something else sticks out to you, is not being afraid to ask for what you want and what you need. And so once you started taking that leap to start doing that, all these spirals and all these great opportunities kept coming to you, which is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, again, I was able to kind of get most of my confidence through music and being thrusted into these situations that were very uncomfortable. Like, you know, for me, from like being a classically trained musician and like wanting to read music and then like entering into a recording session where there is no music and the melody that you're being instructed to play is being sung to you by some dude playing air trumpet. and just being like, what? Oh, man, I'm actually getting paid to be here right now. Okay, well, I got to make this work. and then also, you know, like I said in, like, the last podcast, is that, like, the first show that I played with Gora, you know, full concert dress, you know, top button to now where it's more common for me to have my shirt off than it is, and being able to and then which gave me the confidence to start my solo project as Black Wolf, and I guess like online it's like it's Black Wolf, but you know a lot of it and like with Black Wolf, like it's very, very personal. It's very sexual, like the content that I'm sharing, because especially with you know, talking about sex, it's such a taboo that it forces you to be very open and very communicative with like your partners about what is expected and what is understood and what boundaries are. And so, and like the only way that you are ever going to get what you want is if you are able to communicate and ask for what it is that you want, but also be confident enough to be told no. So that when someone tells you yes, it means yes. When someone tells you no, it means no. And like there isn't some kind of tricky dialogue that, you know, somebody needs to write a book about, like, you know, what they really mean when they say no. Like, that's not, like, that is the absolute wrong way. Like, that is not where, you know, these sort of interactions are supposed to go. And so, like, through music, through my multimedia explorations as an electronic musician, like, through the, you know, my art history studies of gender and through just, you know, the complicated life experiences that I've had, I've had to fight, I have struggled so that I can, and but it's all gotten me to the point of being able to ask for what it is that I want, and music was the platform that gave me that stability to grow myself and to have a foundation to question and to subject myself to the experiences that I wanted to feel and understand. And so music led me to this new point in self-exploration and future technologies.
Super cool. That is, I think, a great summation of these two episodes. So, Brianna, tell us, where can we find you, online and in person?
Yeah. So, online, you can find most of my blockchain posts and most of those experiences. Like blockchain and bull riding, you'll find me on Twitter at A Cool Breeze, and I spell that with an A, then K, E, W, L, and then Breeze spelled normally. Or you can find some of my music postings, especially with my solo project, on Black Wolf Electric, and that's on Facebook, and that's on Twitter, and Instagram as well, at A Cool Breeze. Yeah.
Cool beans. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
So excited to have had you on. I'm sure this would not be our last conversation. We could just listen to you talk all day.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for inviting me to be on.
Before we go, though, we still have a trivia.
Oh.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Hold your horses. have you figured out our trivia question yet, Andre? Who sings Handlebars?
Oh,
Brianna,
well,
if you need to phone a friend.
Brianna, can I phone you as a friend?
Yes, you can absolutely phone me as a friend anytime. So Handlebars is played by the Denver-based band The Flow By.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. If you guys are listening at home, you got it right. Hit us up on Twitter, OQE Podcast. Let us know how much you like Flowbots, or if you don't like Flowbots, that's okay. Let us know.
Yeah. Until next time,
indeed.
Indeed. until then, bye, y'all.